Beloved, would you take your scriptures now and turn to the book of Malachi? Malachi, we know Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. So before the book of Matthew, we have Malachi. We're in Malachi chapter 1, reading verses 6 through 14. Malachi 1, verses 6 through 14. Beloved, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father of all comfort, we come to you, the God who has given us your word. You've spoken to us. You've breathed out upon us your word so that you have revealed yourself to us through the law, through the prophets, through the writings, the Gospels, the whole Scriptures. And we praise you that you're a God who loves us so much that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Gospel. So now as we hear your Word, Father, we ask that you would give us ears to hear. Illumine our hearts and our minds, which still have darkness remaining. For some, complete darkness. Shine your bright light into our minds and hearts, our wills and our affections. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Malachi chapter 1, we're reading verses 6 through 14. These are the words of God. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? And that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us with such an offering on your part? Will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. From the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand? Says the Lord. But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. That is the word of the Lord, and that he add his blessing to the reading of the word, and now the preaching of his word. The first thing we heard in Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, is that God loves his people. And they've questioned God, how have you loved us? And he showed them how he loves them by through election, by his justice, where he does not give them what they deserve, but he shows mercy, shows grace, and he gives it, he shows his love through experience, that they will be the ones on that day that say, verse 5, the Lord will be magnified beyond the border of Israel, upon the nations. And now the passage before us is more of what is true of the people of God. They have sinned. They've taken the worship of God and blasphemed the Lord. They confess and profess one thing and live the exact opposite life. And now there are four things we need to see from the passage all dealing with the sin of the priests of Israel. And because of the priests of Israel, thus the people of God of Israel, the people of Israel themselves, for they are led by those priests. The first point is despising and defiling Yahweh. Despising and defiling Yahweh. See verse 6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I, that is the Lord, I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you. And so there is a saying by the priests of Israel where they were teaching, that they were teaching to the people of Israel. It was that which is found in the law of God in the fifth commandment that you are to honor your fathers and mothers. And here it's being taught in application. A son honors his father, a servant his master. It's the same thing we see in books like Ephesians and 1 Peter. Same passages that we find not only the children to obey their parents, but the wives being submissive to their husbands, servants the same to their masters. And so that saying that they were teaching here was correct. They were right in their teaching. But you see, there's a major problem. The Lord shows us. He says, then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? You see, the Lord indeed is the Father of the people of God. And He is their master, for He is King over all, Lord of lords. We've learned Him to be this Father in 1 John. He is God the Father. We are His children, little children. He often says there. Of course, He is master. He is our master, for He has all authority over us, being our sovereign God, and we being His servants, servants of Christ. And if He is our Father, as we are His little children, in view of the fifth commandment, where is His honor then? Where is the honor to be given to Him? It says here, it's lacking. It isn't present. It isn't there. Israel was not honoring Him. The priests were not honoring Yahweh. And as their master, why were they not showing Yahweh respect? They were failing in this. This is not an earthly father or an earthly master. This is Yahweh, their God. Holy, holy, holy Lord. Yahweh, God Almighty. Where is that which He deserves? And they're failing in this. The Lord of hosts says to you, O priests, who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? It's the same phraseology we saw in verse 2. Of, I have loved you. How, God, Yahweh, have you loved us? The Lord tells them the truth. And what do? They question Him. You priests despise my name. How? How have we despised your name? They have not trusted the Lord. They have not believed His word, His promise. Are you one who hears the word of God and yet not does not trust Him? Does not believe what He says in the Bible and the word of God? Because that's what the priests are doing. They're questioning Him. And you, verse 7, it says, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? You priests are defiling Yahweh. How? They respond. How are we defiling you, Yahweh? You see, they keep hearing Yahweh's voice. The breathed out word of God coming to them through the prophet Malachi. And they respond back with questions. Questioning God. They question the Lord. How? How is it that you, the Lord, say that you have loved us? How is it that you say that, and yet we have despised you. That we have defiled you. They continue questioning and not putting their trust in the word of the Lord. They're saying with their questions, Lord, you lie. You're not the God of truth. You lie. You're like Satan, the devil, who's the father of lies. You're not the God of truth unless you are not God. That's what they're implying. They're not saying it, but that's what they're implying. Practically, that's what they're doing. And this is different than responding, Lord, we hear what you say, but we can't see it. We don't see it. That's just not seeing. But here, they're questioning God. He says, this is the truth. I love you. This is the truth. You're despising me. You're defiling me, my name. And they're saying, how? That's not possible. It's a complete distrust. It's not faith at all. It's a lack of faith. How have we defiled you, Lord? The Lord answers them, in that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. The priests had a very low view of what the Lord said, and they were saying to one another that the table of the Lord is to be despised. It is to be no more regarded. You know, highly regarded. It's no more to be regarded than any other table. It's just like all the other tables. Table of the Lord is. This being the table, possibly in the temple that was where the showbread was, but more likely it was where the altar was. Where the burnt offerings were sacrificed. So that's the context. That's what he keeps coming back to with the sacrifices on the altar. In this passage. You see it in verse 7, you see it in verse 8, you see it in verse 10. He's coming back, he's talking about the altar. They uselessly kindled fire on his altar. One commentator says, those greatly profane and pollute God's name, who despise the busyness of religion, though it is very honorable, as not worth taking pains in, and the advantages of religion, though highly valuable, as not worth taking pains for. Those who live in careless neglect of holy ordinances, who come to them and attend on them irreverently, and go away from them never the better and under no concern, do in effect say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. There is neither virtue nor value in it, neither credit nor comfort from it. They were defiling the table of the Lord, the altar, the sacrificial altar, where they brought their offerings. And the language reminds us at least of the Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord that we celebrate, where we remember the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, His blood given, His body given, His blood shed. And there as we celebrate the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper, do we see it? Do we treat it irreverently, in which it could be said of us that our actions, that this table of the Lord is to be despised, that it's just another table. That it's just another time that we celebrate the gospel. Or are we just going through the motions? And in that way, despising, not treating it as we should. Just as we would come to the preaching of the word, or the ordinances of God, the means of grace. The word, sacraments and prayer. We treat it in a way that we are saying it is to be despised. Are we acting in a way that it showing it is despising to us? We are despising it in that way of how we act. And yet this is the Lord's Day, the day that we come to worship because He commands us to come. That's why He calls us to worship Him. And do we think and treat it as if it's any other day? Monday or Tuesday? Or is it the most special day of the week when we get to gather with God's people as He has designed that we would rest upon Him? If we're treating it like any other time, if we're not seeing that this day is more important than being with family, being with friends, then we're treating it as any other day. And that's exactly what the priests are doing here in Malachi 1. They're despising the Lord, defiling Him in their actions. Secondly, worship that is false. Worship that is false. You see in verse 8, this in 8 through 10. And so what's happened in the last point is that the priests treat Yahweh as they would never dare treat their earthly rulers. They are striving to put him off with the mere required time they come and they go through the motions of worship. And they're wondering why he isn't rewarding them for such despising and defiling him. Verse 8 helping us see the table of verse 7 dealing with the sacrificial system. The altar, it says, but when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? When you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? So here they're offering sacrifices on the altar. That's their duty as priests of the Lord, as they were called to do. And allowing people to come and bring animals that were having defect. They were, according to the law of God, only to sacrifice those things, those animals, without defect, without blemish. And here they are, they're bringing not clean animals, sacrificing them to the Lord according to the law of God. No, they're bringing animals that are blind and lame and sick to be offered. Animals that had defect. They were unclean according to God. And so they were allowing these animals that were supposed to be pointing to the perfect righteous sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Perfect righteous sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And substituting in there sacrifice or animals that would be more so pointing to us as sinners. Who are unclean. Ourselves, perhaps, on the cross. Which would still not be a good enough sacrifice to save us and give us eternal life. And so all they were looking to do was the bare minimum. Even though, as they were doing the bare minimum, they failed in doing the duty altogether. And they're thinking, well, an animal's an animal. And if we can keep the good animals to ourselves, we can eat those animals. And we can give up these sickly, unclean animals for sacrifice to the Lord. Surely let's do that and keep the good ones to ourselves so we can eat the good animals, the good meat. Yahweh can have the unwanted ones. You might even say Yahweh can have the leftovers. Is that how you think of worship? The Lord's Day coming to worship and the Lord's receiving, or you're acting in such a way where the Lord is receiving just your leftovers. This is what you have left over to give to him. What is the most important day in your heart? What is the most important place in your heart? It should be the Lord's Day and Lord's worship with his people. That is what we see over and over through the scriptures. That's what it is for the Lord. That's what we'll be doing in heaven for all eternity. And we are preparing for that now. And when you give in the offering, you just had the offering, is it just the leftover monies from your budget? It's just what's extra? Or is it, as God commands, the first fruits of what you can give, the best of what you can give? Here is worship that is false. We see in the scripture, verses 6 through 14, not according to the word of God, not what's found in the law of God, not what is given by example through Christ Jesus and his holiness. Here is worship that is false. They were not worshiping with integrity in their hearts, but going through the motions and doing the least to appear as being doing the most. Doing right. But to their earthly rulers, they would not do such things before their earthly rulers, would they? Would they bring for a meal to their governor, to their ruler, to their king, to their president? If you were to go and have a meal with the president and you were bringing food, would you bring the sickly, blind, ill, defective animal? Surely you would not do that. You would bring what is the best you had. If he was coming over to your house, they were coming over to your house, you would give the best. You would prepare the best meal. They would not dare do such a thing. Who would want such a thing? But to Yahweh, he is not that important to them. Not as important as governors and earthly rulers. And so he gets the leftovers. He gets the unwanted things. If you gave the earthly rulers such things, would they be pleased? Would they be pleased with this sickly animal? Absolutely not. Would they receive you kindly? He says, no. None. Not even the priests would want to eat of those things. And yet you offer it to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Sovereign Holy God. Verse 9. But now will you not entreat God's favor, pray to him, that he may be gracious to us. With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of Hosts? You have to ask the question of these priests. Their great duty was to intercede for the people of God before God, just as Jesus does for us now. Jesus is our high priest. That's what he does. That's what these priests were to do. They were to intercede before God. And so then how could they expect that their intercessions for the people would be effective before God when they continually insulted him and their sacrifices and offerings? Their false sacrifices. And now some ironically is saying, why don't you now, having offered these sacrifices, why don't you go and intercede? Why don't you go and pray for the people? Call upon the Lord to be merciful, to be gracious. Because now you've given this offering of yours, surely, sarcasm, surely he will receive any of you kindly. Or surely you have offered him acceptable and pleasing worship. Not. No way. No way did they do that. You should not expect the Lord to be merciful and gracious when you treat governors and earthly rulers with more reverence, more honor, more respect than you do with Yahweh himself. And you despise and defile his name. Verse 10. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of Hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. You see how your worship is false, priests, and you blaspheme my name through your worship of me, through your so-called worship of me? Oh, that there would be one priest among you who would go and shut the gates to these defective animals coming, and these sinners who keep bringing their unclean animals before me, even allowing these sinful priests, who shouldn't even be called priests, to come before me and worship before me. If there would just be one priest who would go and shut the gates. As they fail to point to the need of my Son as their Savior, the Messiah to come for them, the Savior Jesus Christ for us. That there would be one priest who would rise up and keep these sinful priests from defiling my worship, from my holy temple, from my holy presence. For what are they doing but kindling uselessly fire on my altar and my worship, using useless, vain things in Yahweh's worship? So much of that goes on in the church today, we know. Bringing in things that don't belong in Yahweh's worship, for he's not commanded that he be worshipped that way. He tells us exactly how he ought to be worshipped. He must be worshipped according to the Word of God. He tells us how to worship him. And yet so many are bringing in their man-made things. They want to get rid of the foolishness of preaching. Things that are despicable in man's eyes, or doesn't seem smart or wise, like preaching. And they want to institute drama or dancing, other things, you can figure it out. Even now, going into the last month of the year, we hear much about Christmas and public worship. I'm not here right now speaking about the incarnation or preaching on the incarnation of the Lord. I'm not talking about that at all. But when the focus in public worship is on Christmas, just the day or the celebration of Christmas, not on Jesus at all, but when it's on Christmas, that is the same thing. A couple of years ago, a couple visited here on a particular Lord's Day in which some celebrate the pagan day of Ishtar, Easter. And after worship, the lady was upset that we didn't celebrate Easter. She kept, if you remember, she kept saying, "No Easter, no Easter." And after worship, as she was repeating that, she finally left. I tried to explain some things to her, but she left. That very day, what did we hear that morning before she left, before worship was over? We heard the gospel, and a good part of the sermon was about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Her focus was not on the resurrection, which most people, a lot of Christians, when they celebrate Easter, they celebrate the resurrection. But it wasn't on the resurrection, it was on Easter, that it wasn't mentioned. There weren't eggs places. I'm not sure what she meant. But she was focused on Easter. There's people now who are focused on Christmas and Christmas and Christmas. It's all about that. When it should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. About Him. About His worship. We're focusing just on Christmas or Easter, the church calendar, man-made things. If it's focused on that in public worship and not Yahweh, then it is false and it is done in vain. Uselessly kindling fire upon the altar of God. Worship that is false. If elders, we have elders today. If as elders you do not stop false worship in the moment it is happening, he says to you here, do not expect the grace of God. He says, oh, that there would be one among you who would shut the gates. Third point this morning, worship to Yahweh from the nations. Worship to Yahweh from the nations. Verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Back to thinking about the priests. You priests might defile my worship and despise my name, but I promise you here and now, my name will be great among the nations. The world. They will worship me. They will worship me in spirit. They will worship me in truth. They will have ministers who shut the gates to false worship and honor me with their worship. And how that would rebuke greatly the Jews, the priests, that day. To think that Yahweh would want the Gentiles who are dirty, dirty, dirty worldly pagan people to worship Him. And such we are. Gentiles. That He would take that which is unclean, somewhat we might say by definition unclean. Sinful people raised in pagan homes. And He will make them clean, and they will glorify His name. They will in every place, wherever they gather as a church by the Spirit's presence, wherever they gather as a church of Jesus Christ, they will worship me according to my commandments and offer acceptable worship, much more acceptable in Christ Jesus than your priests, your false, unclean worship. Where you regard and honor your fathers and masters and rulers of the earth more than me, Yahweh. And we are part of those nations He is speaking of here in Malachi 1. Those who have believed here today. And so will you offer acceptable worship to the Lord? Will you call His name great among the peoples? Tell of His great works that He's done. And give them, the people of the world, of the nations, the gospel. Or will you be silent? Worship to Yahweh from the nations. And finally, the last point, worship that defiles and despises. It kind of goes back to the first point. Worship that defiles and despises. Verse 12. But you are profaning it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. The nations will see, they'll profess my name to be great in public worship wherever they gather. But you priests, priests of God, are profaning my public worship. You're profaning my name. When these dirty Gentiles who I will bring in, they will make clean. I will make clean. And they will honor my name. And they will produce pure, clean worship by my Son Jesus Christ. The Spirit being in them. And that is how we are to worship today. With the Spirit, by the Spirit, and through the righteousness of Christ, who perfects our worship as our great priest who intercedes for us. Again, how that would rebuke the priests, saying the Gentiles will get it right and you're offering this unclean worship. To hear the Lord saying your great enemy has it right and you are completely wrong. You're completely false and vain. You are profaning the worship of Yahweh. So we must ask ourselves that. Is that you, beloved, in your actions, in your worship as you gather here on the Lord's Day, in your hearts and your minds, in your unbelief, in your hearing? Are you hearing? Are you shutting up your ears? Are you profaning the worship of Yahweh? Are you saying in your mind that all this is meaningless or vanity? And hoping that it would be despised by others. Perhaps you're not thinking it, but you're acting in such a way in which you're just going through the motions because you have to be here. Are you living in such a way as to imply this? Verse 13. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? Very strong words he gives there, the Lord through the prophet to the priests. The priests are saying something like, oh, how tiresome it is to serve the Lord. How tiresome it is to lead and worship the people of God. How tiresome. How exhausting a service. And they scoff at this service. They scoff at His worship. And many today scoff at the Lord's worship when it's done as He commands it to be done in the Scriptures. They sniff at it. They snort at it, scoffing. What else do they do? These priests who should be leading the people of God in holy worship, they bring what was taken by robbery. And so now verse 8 is added to. We give a little bit more detail of what happened in verse 8. It isn't just lame and sick and blind, the unholy, the unclean, dirty animals that are being sacrificed. It's also these that are being stolen. Those things that have been stolen, these things that are being sacrificed to the Lord, they're bringing their offerings, and their offerings have been either taken from others, stolen, or it's describing here that they are robbing from God, and they're bringing the sacrifices, which are lame and sick and blind when they have the clean. God has given them the clean animals. He's given them the pure animals that would point to the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet they're taking the lame and the blind, the sickly animals. And so in that way they are robbing from God. Yahweh responds, should I receive that from your hand? Should I receive that which you got from stealing, breaking the eighth commandment, or stealing from me? Should I take what you are taking for yourself, the best, and you're giving me the worst? Should I receive that from your hand? Defiled and despised things from your hand? This is how you worship me, the Lord? It's idolatry. It's idolizing yourself, people, priests. It is certainly not worship of Yahweh. It is prideful blasphemy. No, he will not receive your worship outside of Christ's righteousness according to his word. Verse 14, but cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. What is the consequence of those who would be like these priests for the breaking of the covenant? That's what is happening. That's what happens in all the prophets. The people are breaking the covenant. We saw they're breaking the covenant from Joshua through Kings. They continually rebel against God. They continually not follow after God and love Him and believe in Him. And so in the prophets, in Malachi, they are breaking the covenant. And here is the judgment. Here is the what they call the covenant lawsuit. For the breaking of the covenant, what is the sentence? Of such profane and careless worshipers, even the ones who vow and sacrifice to the Lord corrupt things when they have a perfectly clean male of the flock to offer. They have the best to offer, but do not sacrifice it. The result is the same promised result that we find in Deuteronomy when the covenant is given. Curses. Curses forever for the robber of God, the swindler of God. So Yahweh will not be mocked. These priests, perhaps because they are Jews, perhaps you, because you believe yourself to be a member of the church, you expect a blessing because you're a member of the church, of the visible church of Jesus Christ. Because you have verbally professed faith, you expect to be blessed. But there may be some of you who will be met with eternal curses. The wrath of God according to the judgment written. Because you do not worship God. You do not love God. You do not truly believe the gospel. And you worship God in the wrong way or with wrong motives. Bad hearts. Recalls us to worship with our hearts. Yahweh is a great king. He's the Lord of hosts. And therefore, He will deal justly with you. You who profane His worship. His name is to be feared among the nations, and yet it is not feared before the Jews in this passage. Let that not be said of you. That outside, the Lord is feared among those out there, but not among you. Fear the Lord. For those who think they can cheat God will prove in the end to have a damning sentence upon their own souls. Hypocrites are deceivers. And they will prove self-deceivers and so self-destroyers. Let that not be you. But let us worship the Lord not carelessly, but in fear of Him carefully with all reverence and awe. For we know, as He says in the Scriptures, our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Our gracious, merciful Father, be gracious and merciful to us. For we come often to the worship of God and we are easily distracted. We're easily the ones who are thinking of other things. Our family, those outside in the world, our jobs, things that we could do that appear to be more fun, entertaining, pleasurable. And we sin against You. For our focus here should be upon You, worshiping You, giving You all of what we have, the best of what we have, not only in terms of things, but in our hearts and our minds, even our emotions, our feelings. And so, Father, we thank You that You promise us You will be gracious and merciful through Your Son, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ, our righteous one. We thank You that You have declared us to be righteous, and that You are making us holy and righteous through Him by Your Spirit. We thank you that we have an intercessor before you constantly who pleads with us, living to make intercession for us, your Son, our Savior. For we again, we do not give perfect worship here. We fail. There may be areas in which we are not worshiping according to your word. And there are areas where we are not worshiping with pure hearts and pure motives. Lord, forgive us of our sins in your Son, Jesus Christ. And knowing that you call us to forgive those who repent, Father, we know that you are a God who forgives us. One who promises to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, even as far as the east is from the west. And so, Father, we trust now in your promises. We thank you that you're a God who watches over us and cares for us, even though we have sinned against you. That as we live in a sinful world, our bodies struggle as well. Not only our souls, but our bodies do. And there are many who have great illnesses right now. We ask that you would heal them of our congregation. You would turn them and their bodies, strengthen their bodies to serve you in a greater way. And Father, we praise you for healing our bodies and healing, being in the process of healing them, even through doctors and medicine. What a great favor to us, grace. Father, be with those whose loved ones are dying. Strengthen them to minister the gospel in such times. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our intercessor. Amen.